deer and the antelope play.
Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started.
Oh, thank me not for what I sing thee. Thine are the songs, no gift of mine. Thou gavest them me, I but return thee what is and ever will be thine. Thine will they everyone forever, the light which in my dear eyes shone. Truly hath taught me how to read them. Dost thou not know they are thine own? Dost thou not know?
One of the really great popular songs, both musically and lyrically, is Victor Young's selection for the next spot. Victor has made a beautiful arrangement of Rogers and Hart's Where or When.
Thank you.
very good friend of mine, Clara Edwards, wrote a song I'm very fond of. A song you're very fond of, too, judging by the way it increases in popularity from year to year. By the Bend of the River.
By the bend of the river, where rushes are growing and waters are flowing far down to the sea, on a soft, balmy June night, in the shimmering moonlight, I know that my own true love is waiting for me. The golden moonlight, the gloom, my thoughts returning to home, and with their winging, my heart is singing a song of its own. By the bend of the river, where rushes are growing and waters are flowing far down to the sea, on a soft, balmy June night, in the shimmering moonlight, I know that my own true love is waiting for me. In the cool of the evening, when the shadows are falling, I can hear my love calling so softly to me. Through the scent of the heather, in fair summer weather, we'll drift down together.
Thank you. Ken Darby has made an interesting arrangement of a great rhythmic spiritual. Little David, play on your harp.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah,
little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah,
little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah,
little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah,
little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
John Nesbitt.
It is a curious thing that a remarkably great number of the world's most important inventions and discoveries have been made in kitchens and in barns and tiny workshops, and made by the ordinary American garden variety of tinkerer and putterer. And even more remarkable is that many of these tinkerers have simply been bright boys or girls of high school age. For example, roughly 90 years ago, a frail, blue-eyed, brown-haired English boy named Will Perkin had as his hobby chemistry. And in an attic room under the gable of his home, he had a little chemical laboratory with his shelves and workbenches loaded with bottles of acids and brilliant yellow salts of chromium and blue and green crystals of copper. And one day, having heard his chemistry teacher at school remark what a wonderful thing it would be if some scientist could learn how to manufacture synthetic quinine, 17-year-old Will Perkin set to work. And the boy mixed up everything in his laboratory. And, of course, every experiment that he tried had been tried before by famous adult chemists for half a century, and each one failed to produce a bit of quinine. Finally, the boy tried mixing two new chemicals that had been produced from coal tar, and that experiment, too, had been tried by others. Instead of quinine, the bottom of the test tube merely filled with a thick purple sludge. And disappointed, the boy went over to the wastebasket to chuck it out. And that, too, was exactly what everyone before him had done. But this time, there was one difference, that as he started to dump it out, it ran back on his fingers, staining them purple. And no matter how much he washed and scrubbed his hands, it wouldn't come off. And then, suddenly, he forgot all about making quinine and said, "Why, I've discovered the most beautiful new dye in the world. And he had. It was aniline purple, the first of the thousands of brilliant permanent aniline dyes which we have today and upon which nearly the entire dye industry depends. Discovered by a 17-year-old English schoolboy whose hobby was chemistry. 50 years ago, in Bologna, Italy, another schoolboy, a wealthy, handsome, olive-skinned Italian youngster, had a different hobby, which was electricity. And ever since he was 11 or 12, the toys of this child had been batteries and static machines and condensers. And when he was 19 or 20, he studied physics in school under Professor Righi. The old professor would take two coils of insulated wire and lay them on the workbench about a foot apart, and then he would connect the first coil to an electrical condenser, which shot a spark of electricity through the wire. And each time the professor did this, he showed his class how the needle of a delicate electric meter connected to the second coil would jump across the dial, showing that an electric current formed in the second coil also, although there was no connection between them. It was caused, the professor would explain, by invisible electromagnetic waves that seemed to pass through the air. Every teacher in the world knew about the experiment, and it was a common one. But it took a 21-year-old to place the first coil in England and the second coil not just 12 inches away, but across the Atlantic Ocean, and thereby send the world's first radio message. For that youngster's name was Marconi. And it's a significant thing that the generals of armies who plan the campaigns are usually white-headed old men, while the heroes are generally boys in their teens and early 20s. And in science, it takes both qualities. It takes especially the wonderful, reckless courage of youth that goes plunging off into the new and unknown worlds where older heads are afraid to go. For in the bright dreams of youth, it is true that nothing is impossible, that no space is too great to cross, or no star too high to reach for from the passing parade.
Thank you, John Nesbitt.
Whenever the beloved John McCormick gave a concert, there was one song that was sure to be requested. I want to bring it back to your memory. Somewhere a voice is calling.
Dusk and the shadows falling o'er land and sea. Gleaming and dark.
Here is one of the earlier Gershwin songs written when he first started to gain recognition as a composer, Swanee. Sing the Toreador song from the opera Carmen.
Otra tos, chaper pula rodre, senor, senor, car avec le soldat. Ride toreros. Pour plaisir, ils ont le combat. Le cirque est plat ce jour de fête, le cirque est plat du haut en bas. Et les spectateurs perdent la tête, les spectateurs s'interpellent. Un grand fracas, apostolos, récusez ta page. Poussez jusque à l'empire, car c'est la fête du courage, c'est la fête de gens de cœur. Allons, regarde, allons, allons. Songe bien, oui, songe en combattant, une noire te regarde, et que l'amour t'attend, toréador, l'amour, l'amour t'attend.
Toréador, en garde, toréador, toréador.
Et songe bien, oui, songe en combattant, noir te regarde et que l'amour t'attend, toréador, l'amour, l'amour t'attend. Tout à coup, on fait silence. Oh, fais silence, ah, que se passe-t-il? Une frissée l'instant, une frissée l'instant, le torrentello en horizon, en littoril. Il s'élance, il entre, il frappe, un cheval roule entre dans un picador. Ah, bravo toro, hurle la foule, le toro va, il vient, il vient. Il frappe au cœur, alors c'est quoi? C'est bonne vie, la nature est pure, le cirque est plein de sang. Se sauve, franchit les grilles, c'est ton tour maintenant. Allô, oh garde, allô, allô. Oh, toréador, oh garde.
Toreador, Toreador, Toreador. Et son vieux huisson, Jean Combattant, que le noir te regarde, et que l'amour t'attend, Toreador, l'amour, l'amour t'attend.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.